The gang is all here, in so far as those two will be starting on time. So great job, ladies. Yes, this is awesome. We have a couple of ladies in the tribe who are going to join us if they can. There was a couple people stuck in work commutes and late meetings and things like that. So we may have some late hopper honors, which is always totally fine. But we are just going to go ahead and get started. Yay, I'm so excited. Okay, so let me just make sure I'm recording, because that's been a funny thing for me lately. Okay, so welcome everybody. We've got a great crew tonight. Some of you have been with us before, and we've got some new members of the tribe joining us tonight, which is always exciting. So new faces, old faces, just really happy to see you all, of course. So I'll go ahead and do a quick overview. I'm going to make this super quick because most of you have been here, and for those of you who haven't, it's just a pretty simple layout. So we're going to start out with introductions. So that's your name, where you're at, and a gratitude or something that's going well this week, or in the last couple of weeks since our last meeting. And from the introduction, we're going to go ahead and do some updates. So how's it going? How are things going? If you've been in the tribe for a while, or if you've been in the program or one-on-one coaching with me for a while, how are things going? Any kinds of updates are welcome. So happy shares, challenging shares, triumphant shares, stuck shares, any manifestation of a share is totally welcome. I love updates, and I love shares like that because, again, we're all here together because we're all in this together. And if somebody is going through something, whether it's a high or a low or sideways, there's probably somebody else in the tribe that can relate. And that relatability, as you've probably been learning, if you've been watching Brené Brown's videos and Kristen Neff's videos, sharing with other women, especially for women — I'm not saying that it's not the case for men, but especially for women — when we share about our journey, when we say, hey, I'm having a hard time here, or, hey, you know, I just did this thing that I didn't think I could do, or, you know, whatever it is, it's not only healthy for us to process through it, and it's healing and cathartic, but it also creates empathy and connection, which are really super important parts of human connection. So updates of any kind are awesome. If you just joined, if you're brand new in the program or brand new with me, or just haven't gotten to the materials, you know, in a while, totally fine. You can just listen in. You can share why you're here, what you're hoping to get out of the program or out of this call. You can share, you know, what little steps you have made since you just made the investment and the amazing decision to jump in and dive in and invest in yourself and your growth. So anything and everything is welcome. And then we're going to go ahead and shift into a Q&A. So any questions from any of the modules at all? So, you know, from months ago until present, any questions are welcome. And I'm happy to do some hot seat coaching or answer any questions, or, you know, field it to the group, and we can kind of support each other in answering each other's questions or giving some insight. I think I've mentioned this on the last couple of calls, and I'll touch on this again. So I love crosstalk, that meaning like sharing and like, oh yeah, I relate with you, and, you know, supporting each other in that way and having a dialogue, but positive, constructive crosstalk. What I don't want, what I would like to refrain from doing, is like correcting each other or saying like, oh, you should do that because it worked for me, or, you know, just being really authoritative or directive in that way. So we're all here to grow. So crosstalk is awesome. Sharing is awesome, but let's definitely keep it like supportive. And then from the Q&As, we're going to go ahead and do some module 4 review. So that little module I made, module 4, about self-love and self-esteem and self-compassion. I know it was a beast of a module, and in a good way, I think, I hope. I packed so much into that because it's really the like core golden foundation piece of our journey. You know, loving ourselves and how we treat ourselves is going to impact everything else we do. So we're going to do some module 4 review, and I'm going to be really inviting some shares from you ladies, like specific shares around some of the module content. Again, if you haven't read it or gotten to it yet, totally fine. Like if there's something I ask that you relate with, but you don't really know if you're saying the right thing, do it. Like chime in, totally cool. And then we're going to segue into the module 5 material, which thank you for your patience. I had said that I would have it available Monday morning and had a 2-day power outage in Jalapa last weekend, which set me back a bit. So I came to Puerto Vallarta and my team and I have been working on it this week. So we have the first portion of module 5 up and it's live and the recordings are there and the workbooks are there. But there will be a module 5.2 and 5.3 that we are still finalizing, which will be up this weekend. So for tonight, we're just going to tackle like the context, self-agency. Like what the heck is self-agency? Why is that important? We're going to be talking about responsibility, accountability, proactivity, stuff like that. So we're going to get to module 5 and then we will see what happens. So there's a little bit of the overview and let's go ahead and launch right into introductions. So name and where you're at in the world and something that's going well for you or something that you're grateful for this week or in the last couple of weeks. So I will start the round. I am Fawn and I am in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Again, at my favorite hotel. I was here last time I did the call because they have fast internet and really amazing rooms and it's really affordable. So here I am. And I was thinking before the call, I'm like, oh man, so much to be grateful for. And then this like light bulb went on over my head. I'm like, I'm so grateful for responsibility, which is not something I ever thought I would hear out of my own mouth. But I am so grateful for responsibility because a lot of things are coming to fruition for me in the last year. And I'm like living a lot of the things I've dreamt of living. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like it's because I took responsibility and, you know, and here I am. So I'm grateful for responsibility. That word used to like make me want to hide behind the couch, and, you know, just like, yeah. So I'm grateful for that. And I will go round robin here. Valerie, would you be willing to do an introduction?
Sure. My name is Valerie and I live in Hemet, California. It's close to Riverside. If you guys know where California is, if you're familiar with California. And yeah. What am I grateful? I'm grateful for everything. I mean, but today I have to say what I was grateful for was my oldest daughter moved out and I'm not grateful for that, but she moved out and the room that she moved out of was like a mess and whatever. So on Mother's Day, my youngest daughter went into that room and as her gift to me, she decorated and cleaned it and organized it. And she put in big letters on the wall, Mom's office. So I'm very grateful that she did that because now I finally have a little bit of a space.
Yeah, that is so sweet. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, actually, all my kids have always wanted to make me cry with a gift and I actually cried on that one. So
that is so sweet. Thank you for sharing that. Yay, now you have your own space in your own office to have some me time. Yeah, good for you. Thanks for sharing that. Welcome, Valerie. Everybody, welcome Valerie to the tribe. This is her first call. Yay! Awesome. Thanks for that share. Okay, go ahead and put yourself on mute, Valerie, and I will invite Courtney to introduce herself. And Courtney, while you're introducing yourself, I think I'm going to just reposition myself. Go ahead and talk, and I'm just going to try to get some more light going on in my world here.
Okay. My name is Courtney, and I'm also in Southern California. And I think the thing this week that I'm most grateful for is just being able to kind of get back on the wagon a little bit of like working on all of the modules and getting back into doing gratitude lists and, you know, just getting back into it.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Welcome back. Yeah, we're happy to have you back. And that's, you know, I'm going to speak to this for a second for the rest of the ladies in the tribe. So it happens, right? Life happens and we set out with the best of intentions and we're cruising along and we're doing good and we're like, yeah, I'm doing the modules or I'm doing my, you know, my coaching and then we get thrown off course. We're human and it happens. It's probably going to happen. And I like to be a realist. You know, if you're one of my one-on-one clients, you've heard me say at the very beginning, like, you know, the coaching journey is more like this than it is like this. And that's life and that's being human. As long as we're putting one foot in front of the other, that's what's important. So if any of you at any point, like with what Courtney's saying right now, you know, feel like stuff happens and you, you know, can't make it to the calls or you drop the coaching for a while, come back. Like, no shame. It's all good. Like, I get it. We all get it. And we just want you here. I just, you know, the whole point is to support you on continuing to move forward. So I just think it's really important to specify that, to clarify that, and let you all know that you're always welcome. So yeah, thanks for speaking to that, Courtney. And we're glad to have you back. Yay. Awesome. All right, Kim, would you be willing to do an introduction?
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Kim. Yay.
I'm Kim, and I'm in Ohio. All of you have, like, wonderful lighting, natural light coming in. I'm like, I have none because it's 9:30 here, so...
But the you're one, still glowing.
Yes. Oh, good. the one thing I'm grateful for is it's almost spring. I mean, summer break. So I'm excited about that. As much as I love teaching, mm-hmm. the summers are the best. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yay. I'm excited for you. And I'm excited for Valerie too. Both of you are hardworking, amazing teachers. Yeah. And I know that both of you are like right on the cusp. So yes. Awesome. Thanks for that introduction. All right. Lisa, would you be willing to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, everybody. My name is Lisa and I'm up here in Sandpoint, Idaho. And I am grateful, really feeling grateful for wanting to continue engaging in this work. You know, I get it. It's taken me a long time to get on the bus or on the wagon. And I've had to just be really, really patient with my process of numbing out my vulnerability, which I learned from Brené Brown today, which wrapped up a lot in helping me understand my resistances. But anyway, yeah, it's feeling really good to be engaged with all this work and all the resources and everything, Fawn. So
yay.
Yeah, really grateful for that.
Yay. Oh, thank you for sharing that. That's music to my ears. I mean, I get to be the conduit to pass all of this stuff to you ladies, you know, like this, the biggest blessing in the world. And I'm so grateful that it's resonating with you, Lisa, and you're arriving at a place where this is, you know, you're ready for it. And yeah, I'm excited. We're going to talk about Brené Brown in a moment here. And I'm excited to hear if you want to share anything around what came up for you. So yay. Thank you. And again, right, a great example of there's no wrong or right way to go about this journey. It's just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And it might feel like quicksand for a while. And then you get out and you start moving and it's okay. Right? Like, we're not here to be perfect. We're here to be present. So that's what's important. All right. Thank you for those introductions, ladies. I so appreciate it. I'm noticing that the lighting is getting kind of that weird time, beautiful, weird time of day where the lighting is equal on both sides. But hopefully once it kind of dims outside, my computer will light my face up so I don't look like a floating ghost head. Okay. All right. So I guess it's not that bad. All right. Okay, so updates. Let's share some updates for a few minutes here. Anything related to the course materials, the coaching, challenges, updates, shares, triumphs, tribulations, where we all at, how we all doing, let's do that. And then if it's pertaining to module 4, actually, yeah, just any updates. And then we're going to get more specific about checking in around the module 4 stuff, but... yeah, I'll just open the floor to anybody who wants to share, like, hey, I'm having a hard time, or hey, I finally overcame this thing, or hey, anything. So raise your hand if you would be willing to share just like anything that is up for you right now. Kim, thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
The thing that's going well is I'm learning to do is self-compassion, because that for me is a brand new idea. I always felt like I had to push myself and always push real, real hard. So at the times that I need to love myself or feel loved, instead of looking outside, I'm really trying to look inside and saying the words to myself that I kind of wish somebody else would say to me, I guess, because I'm single right now. So, also, the thing that I'm having a hard time with is my thoughts, like they flow so quickly that I cannot keep up. So I am doing the consciousness, and I guess I am aware of it, because now when it happens, I'm like, oh, I wish it would stop, you know. But to just sit still and because we talk about what's his name, the toll guy, is that
Eckhart Tolle?
Yes. Oh my gosh. So I love his videos and everything, but to actually, because he talks about the sensory thing and sitting still and your mind stops if you're using your senses. Yeah, my mind is still going.
Right? You too? You too? Okay, good.
I don't know.
Yeah. So what, can you name the we'll challenge? See. Like, what is the challenge, or what feels hard? Like specifically?
I'm still thinking, like, I need a place for my mind to go. I don't know if by repeating to myself, be present, is really allowing my mind to rest is, I don't know. So it's, I don't know. Cause it's like, I don't know. It just is, it's a challenge, and I can't figure out where to put that, or if it's just practice. Maybe I just need to keep practicing it and be patient with myself, you know, in that practice. So,
Yeah. Thanks for speaking to that. Raise your hand if you can relate with what Kim's saying, ladies. I know I sure can. Like, the chatterbox is just like, nah, 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 nah. Yeah, Kim, totally. I mean, this is the whole thing. Like, if that wasn't a challenge for us, there wouldn't be meditation, you know, like all of us would just be like floating through the world. So I'm saying this to let you know, like, you're not alone. And I have two suggestions that have been really helpful for me. And this is from a book called Mindful Self-Compassion. The author's name is skipping my mind right now, but so first of all, the point here isn't to stop the thoughts necessarily. Like, meditation isn't about like sitting. The goal is to have like this vacant room just staring into an abyss. There is no point. There is no goal necessarily. The point is to be present and to be mindful. That's it. Like, present, mindful. So just like watching the thoughts is, you got it. Like, you're doing it, right? If you're watching the thoughts, okay. Whoa, like I just had this video. That is the practice. It's the practice of being present, the practice of being mindful. So I just wanted to clarify that. And the more you do that, though, the more you practice it, like you said, the more space there will be. They're more like the stream will start to slow down, and then it'll start to slow down even more. So sometimes I just thought of this analogy, but it's almost like opening a door where there's like a ton of water like blocked in, and you open the door and the water rushes through, but then eventually it kind of comes to a stream. I don't know what it kind of door I'm talking about right now.
That's sense. Okay. I got it.
So it will slow down over time with practice. And so the two suggestions I have, the first one is a body scan meditation, and you can find this, you can find a few great body scan meditations on Kristen Neff's website. She's the one who talks about self-compassion. And she has, what it is essentially, it's very simple, but you just sit present with yourself, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes if you can. And start with your tippy toes and just notice the sensation in each part. Like, as you kind of go up your toes, up your feet, like ankles, into your legs, And the idea here is that it's taking the chatterbox and it's putting your focus and your presence on your body, which is a super trippy experience. It was for me because I'm not necessarily like a body person, which I don't know. It never occurred to me that that was different. but doing a slow body scan and being mindful and like, oh, I'm feeling my elbows right now. Like breathing, of course, like taking, you know, natural breaths and just being calm and centered, like go to the fingertips and, you know, just like scan the body with that presence, with that mindfulness. And that can help to direct the attention, but without a story behind it. Or without a like narration, you know, like, oh, now I'm scanning the ankles and the ankles are going up to the calves and the calves are going to the knees. Like, so hopefully we can, it doesn't sound like some kind of chatterbox, but yeah, so just like, just noticing, it's just a noticing. So that's one. And then the other one is it's using sound, using the awareness of sound. And the other senses. And I love this one, especially if I have the opportunity to open a window or if I'm sitting outside. And this one is to sit again and breathe naturally, kind of center in, and then open up your auditory awareness and hold the presence of like, whoa, that was hopefully the narration isn't there, but just noticing like, oh, like there's a bird chirping over here. There's this sound happening. There's a bigger sound over here. There's some kind of a squeaky thing over there. So just kind of sitting, noticing, even if it's like the whoosh of the AC machine or whatever, and being present with it again, without needing to narrate it or explain it or label it, but being present with those sounds. And that can also help train the brain to be mindful and be aware without running the chatterbox through. And the chatterbox will still probably happen, but these are two techniques that are kind of helpful in like directing and like staying in the present moment instead of wandering off into like, oh, I need an oil change and I burnt the toast at breakfast and like blah, 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 all the stuff. So
right.
Does this make sense? Do you have any questions about that?
Nope. I got it. And I wrote down the book. You said mindful self-compassion.
Yes. Mindful self-compassion. Okay. I actually will send the link to that book, in the notes after our call. So you have it. I have the audio book and it's really nice to fall asleep to. I'll just like put it on and I'm out like a light. So, not to discredit the author's amazing work of literature, but yeah, it's helping my subconscious programming with my meditation techniques. Okay. So yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Great. Great topic. Great question, Kim. Thanks for that. Does anybody else have a share or an update or a question related to anything? Courtney, go ahead. Go ahead, Courtney.
I'll just share. So like I said, the good thing that has been going on is just kind of getting back on the horse, which has kind of led to some more kind of breakthroughs in thought and stuff. But then the kind of thing that's been holding me back the most is probably just not trusting my own feelings or not realizing what's true and what's not. And so that's kind of the thing that I've been struggling with the most lately.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for that share. I appreciate you mentioning that. Raise your hand if you experience that. Anybody else have the experience of like, I'm not really sure if this is, if I want this or where this like urge or this like sensation is coming from? Yeah, totally. So Courtney, it's definitely a human experience. And this, I think, this is what this journey is all about in a way, the journey of exploration and experimentation. And by that, I mean, we find out as we live through life, we kind of find out like, you know, oh, that didn't feel good to me, or that gave me like, you know, I ended up with kind of a painful result by making that decision, or maybe I need to trade in my value for, I don't know, my value for this, for my value for that, you know? So a lot of this journey is experimenting. It is putting ourselves in situations, throwing our hat over the fence, and then, you know, just going through it and and that's how we learn. It sounds like kind of a rough and tumble way to do it, but that's kind of the general like school of life. But also, we had talked about, I hope, is it okay if we shared today about like the felt sense? Okay. So today, Courtney and I were talking about this topic, and one of the things that we're to experiment with is the of emotion and of our physical information system. We're so trained to rely so heavily on our like minds that we get into a situation and we're like trying to think our way through it, which is great. And that works, right? Like that's why we have our values on hand and our strengths and our, all our stuff. But sometimes logically we just can't like it. We can't figure it out. We're like, I don't know if I'm supposed to go left or right. I don't know if I'm supposed to stay or move. I just don't know. So sometimes the best way to get the answers there is to feel into the body. There's an entire modality of, I don't know if it's healing. Yeah, it's probably referred to as healing, but it's emotional freedom technique, tapping. I don't know if anyone's heard of that. And then there's like muscle checking as well. There's something called muscle checking. And both of these modalities tap into, literally and figuratively, tap into the amazing information system of our physical body and our emotional self. So I was sharing with Courtney today as an invitation to maybe try on the, you know, in the moment of like, I don't really know, I'm not sure if this is a value or not, or I don't know what to do, like to kind of center in and sit with it. And think about like option A, option B, right? And, or C or D or whatever, and sit with it and see how your body feels. Like, what is your felt sense around it? And not to say that that's like the necessarily the right thing or the answer or the decision, but it can be, it can help, right? It can help with informing us. Because our subconscious is fucking incredible. Our subconscious isn't just our brain. It's our entire system. Like our subconscious is the part of us that knows that there's a lurker around the corner before we even see the lurker behind the corner. Like our subconscious saw that lurker like a minute ago before we even consciously registered it. So our subconscious system is super, super intelligent. And part of that is like visceral, physical, emotional intelligence. And so all of this is to say, it's important to pay attention to those other parts of ourself. And if you guys are anything like me, it's kind of a foreign land, like feeling into my body and like, you know, oh, I have a decision. My go-to is like, think, make a spreadsheet, write it down, journal, like, you know, go to my values. But I've been increasingly more aware of like how I feel around it, you know, like, is this, how does this decision like fit and sit and like feel? And that can be a source of trust. That can be a source of intuitive like information. So I think that would be my, like my share around that. Is that, what are your thoughts around that? Is that helpful? Courtney or anybody? Courtney, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I, as we talked earlier today, thought that that was very helpful. And like I said, most of the time I realize a lot of the things that I'm thinking are more up here and not necessarily emotionally attached. So that was very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. And thank you for being willing to try that out. That experiment, the body experiment. It's kind of tricky, like out there in the land of science, because some people will straight up say like, don't trust your gut. Don't trust your emotions. You know, your emotions are ancient, archaic things that don't work anymore accurately, you know, and whatever, like, you know, sometimes that's true. Sometimes we're not accurate, but ultimately our systems have been built over millions of years to help us survive. And so it's a lot more likely that it's going to inform us in a positive way, as long as we're being conscious about it, than a negative way. So, yeah, thanks for that share. I appreciate it. It's great. Anybody else have a question about that or a relatability or anything else regarding updates? And then we're going to shift gears into module 4 review. Yeah, Valerie, go ahead.
Well, I just, related to that, what Courtney was saying, I don't know exactly what her situation is, but when it comes to myself, and every time I encountered a situation where I didn't know
is this the right thing? Am I supposed to do this? And I'm not, am I not supposed to do this? I just always felt like, well, I'm just going to try it. I'm just going to go for it. And if it's meant to be, like, all the doors are going to open for me to be successful. And if it's not meant to be, I just go back to what I was doing before. So, I mean, either way, I'm not at a loss. So, you know, I may not trust myself, like, is this the right thing? But, you know, it might just be the next step I need to take. I might just be not being very secure in myself. And mm-hmm. as far as a share, I actually do have something. I'm kind of proud of myself because it's hard for me to, like, brag on myself. Well, not brag, but sell myself. And I've been trying to get this new position, but I need a letter of reference from my principal. And he keeps telling me he's going to write it, but he hasn't written it yet. And so I'm starting to think maybe he's not going to write it, you know, because it's almost the end of the school year and maybe he just doesn't like to write letters of references is what I've heard. So I emailed him last night and I said, listen, I said, I know you don't see me firsthand because I'm in a Mod Severe class and he doesn't really come into my classroom and see how I work with the kids. I said, but I'm really great at what I do. Wow. I said, I know what I do. I said, I'm very good with sped law. I trust myself that I'm going to be great at this job. And I just believe 100% that this, and I said, and I'll make you proud. Like, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to embarrass your school. Like, this position is like, it was meant for me. And I really just sold myself to him in a full email. And I was just kind of proud of myself for doing that.
Yeah. Woo, woo. Everybody want to give Valerie some love on that? That's awesome. Yes, that's amazing. And please do brag about that. And it's, you know what, it's not bragging. It's the universe flowing through you and you are celebrating yourself. And that is what this is all about. Yes. So good for you. Like, that is bold action. And that's bold action in a really beautiful way. You know, this reminds me of relatability, I think, at least. So I had this epiphany because I used to have a really challenging time with celebrating myself or talking about myself or money stuff like, oh, how dare I be wealthy or be, you know, have extra because there are people who are starving and how dare I, that's horrible. Right. I used to have so much baggage around that stuff. And then one time, well, I can't remember how or why, but this download epiphany happened where I had this image flash into my mind of this beautiful, like jungle, like thick jungle. And there's this clearing and there was this beautiful flower in the middle of this clearing. And it was just blooming so big and so beautifully. And I just was like, oh my gosh, like what if the flower was like, oh, how dare I? Like, how dare I bloom and get more sun? Or like, how dare I attract the bugs that can pollinate me? Or how dare I, you know, like, oh, what if I'm taking up too much room from the other petunias or whatever, right? So that's always stuck with me. And what you're describing right here, right now, I'm hearing this and I'm feeling that beautiful blooming that you're describing about yourself. Like, yes, like celebrate yourself. Like, you know, it's totally healthy and it's totally wonderful. And this is related to the self-love, you know, the module, like our kids or our family or our friends or the people we love do something awesome. And what do? We celebrate. We're like, yes, like you did it. You're awesome. Like you're so great. And we cheer him on. And then when it comes to ourselves, we're like, I don't know. Yeah, no, but me, no, little old me. And we start to get all like, you know, reserved and boxed up about it. And we don't celebrate ourselves. So thank you for being a leading example of what that looks like. That's so, I'm all excited. Like that's amazing. Good job. Yeah. Awesome. And something you had mentioned too, your feedback for, Courtney or your share, your relatability. There's actually a phrase for that. I can't remember who, I think it was Brendan Burchard, but it's called the backdoor decision-making process where instead of thinking about a decision as like final and we, you know, like once we make the decision, we can never go back. Most decisions actually aren't like that. Most, not all, of course, but a lot of decisions aren't like that. And so there's this phrase called, I think it's called the backdoor decision, where we can always circle back and go back to where we were, try it over again. You know, it might look a little different, but it's not necessarily like a catastrophic life change or something. Sometimes it is, again, but oftentimes it's like, okay, let me try again. You know, like I learned. How can I implement what I learned into this next round? So yeah, thanks for that. Okay. Let's go ahead. Unless anybody has like an urgent share or update, let's go ahead and move on to the module 4 recap. Does anybody have any questions about what I've said about my hippie flowering analogy or anything? Okay, we're good. all right, ladies. So module 4, I'm going to review this for maybe 10 to 15 and then get to module 5. So we're going to kind of clock at a decent speed here, but I want to make sure to cover some of these really important themes and beats from the module. So let me open the floor. I'm going to open the floor generally with regard to the module 4 material for any shares, any like holy shits, any breakthroughs, any like bullshit, you know, whatever, like anything that came up for anybody with regard to the material, or if you haven't had a chance to visit it yet, that's totally okay. This module was focused on self-love, self-esteem, self-compassion. So if there's any questions you have around that, that's more than welcome as well. So I'm just going to open the floor generally, and then I have some specific questions or beats to cover if that doesn't happen organically in the share. But yeah, would anybody like to share or be willing to share their experience or their takeaway or something that resonated with them from self-love? Okay, Lisa, yeah, thank you.
There
you are. Yeah.
For me, this, I guess, acceptance that I can actually begin a relationship with myself that is based in self-love has been really, I don't know, it's been freaking monumental. It's always been something that has always been in my periphery. But just listening to the modules, you know, that you've done, Fawn, and some of the resources is that it's just really helped me kind of take a look at where I am in my life and some of my issues and just see, like, there are big, fat arrows pointing to, like, girl, you need to get real with learning how to love yourself. And I just finally feel like it's like reading these sources and like, you know, getting things like self-reverence and how we can't be truly compassionate to somebody else until we are with ourselves. And I'm a mom, so that resonates with me. Anyway, this module 4 has just been really huge for me. And so I made a huge decision to, because I don't have health insurance this year. Thank you, Idaho, one of the gap states. But I decided that even though I don't have health insurance, because I have a lot of things manifesting physically, I set up an appointment and I just spent like 3 hours filling out a questionnaire to go see a nutritionist.
Yes. Oh, good for and, you.
Yeah. And so it's like, wow, it's not, I'm just doing it from a different angle, not like out of desperation or I don't know. It's just coming from a place of, and it's more generated from a place of growing self-love. And so that feels huge. That is like monumental for me.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's a really big proactive step for me to make that financial decision. And it's a big vulnerability decision too, to fill out this questionnaire that way in my face. And I just went for it and I was as honest as I could be. And I actually know this woman and I'm a little, if it's feeling really vulnerable, but it's like, you know what? Time to start loving myself because I'm worth it.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for that share. Yes. Ladies, let's give Lisa some love.
It's amazing. Just like saying those words, just to like say those words, like
right?
All on a physical, psychological, cosmic level. I mean, it's shaking stuff up. And so anyway, thank you for all the awesome resources, modules that you've put together, Fawn, because they've been really getting inside of me. Yeah.
You're so welcome. Yeah, it's my honor. Thank you for sharing that. And I am so grateful that you're really listening to this universe message that's happening for you around self-love, self-worth. Yeah, I'm speechless and so grateful.
Yeah, me too.
And I appreciate that you mentioned the perspective of, you know, you have a daughter, and that kind of realization, or that maybe new dawning, or the way that it's occurring to you of like, you know, how much can you give to her? How much can you be a leader in her life? And, you know, be a bright light if you're not feeding yourself from that same source energy of love, right? And compassion and self-esteem. So I so appreciate your vulnerability and your authenticity, and just like, you know, saying, okay, like, wow, you know, like here I am, I'm starting here, and this is, you know, new and stretchy and but I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm really getting, like, really the most important relationship is with ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's really hitting me. And I've always made so much about I'm doing this because it's connected to me being a mom. But this time it's not. I mean, I see the repercussions, but it's because I want it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I don't know, that's shifted a lot. So,
yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I think, hopefully this is okay, but I think Kim can relate to what you're saying a little bit, Kim. Yeah. Okay. And Valerie too. Valerie hopped off the call, but what you're saying right now, Lisa, I'm just going to speak for a couple, for
Kim, and
Kim, do you want to share relatability with Lisa around that? I'm totally volunteering you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. Because when she was talking, I was like, oh, I remember this conversation with you on one of our calls.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just explaining how I've just been waking up in the morning, like with just this. I told her I didn't know how to explain it. It's almost like an inner peace. But more than that, it's kind of like I was waking up with this feeling like the world was in front of me. And I hadn't felt like that in years, because
wow.
I was sharing with her that just, you know, I had goals for myself, and, you know, with school, with work, with having a family. And I felt like I reached that. And then I was just living every day. It was just like, okay, well, I guess I did all I'm going to do, you know.
Oh, wow. And,
life happens, good and bad, you know, and I just kind of felt like, okay, there has to be more, but I just didn't know how to get there. But just all the resources that she shared, there's like so many different things for me to reach and go out and get. And so it just, I remember waking up one Saturday morning and feeling like, everything is open in front of me. What am I going to do with my day to day? And it wasn't like what am I going to do with my day to day? You know, it was really like, what am I going to do today? And I had so many different things to choose from, I was telling her, improving my environment, reading, learning more how to meditate and still myself. Like there were just so many choices, and they were about me, you know, and it was like, wow, that's so different. So yeah,
cool.
I get it.
I can totally relate to that waking up and feeling like, wow, I'm like regaining that happiness to start a new day instead of it being like drudgery and just feeling so heavy and I know that I'm learning from Brené Brown. I've really got so much today listening to her around shame. Ooh, and I'm understanding like what has happened to me. It's giving me some really, really essential insight. And as I'm getting this insight, it's energizing my life. My, it's not like I'm like, you know, hell on wheels, but just waking up and feeling, well, I'm a little bit hell on wheels, but to wake up and feel that shift in how you're facing your day is, oh my God, I feel like, praise the Lord, I am saved. Mm. I hope it lasts.
Yes.
Seriously, I'm not kidding. I mean, it's been a freaking rough year.
Yeah. Yay. Oh, so grateful. So grateful.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that share and your share too, Kim.
Yeah. Thanks, Valerie.
Mm-hmm. And Val dropped off the call, but Valerie, I see that you're back, but I don't see your video feed. But Valerie, it looks like you're back with us, which is great. Right when you hopped off, Valerie, I'm just going to say this, if you listen to the call in the future, Lisa was sharing a really amazing, beautiful share around self-love. And I think you'll relate with it. So Valerie, hopefully you'll listen to the call recording later. Okay. Thank you for that share, Lisa. Amazing. Does anybody else have a share from the module 4, self-love stuff, anything around self-esteem? Self-compassion, shame. You mentioned shame just now, Lisa. I'm totally down to like talk shame for a minute here. Authenticity, caring what other people think. Anybody have anything that they would like to share? Any questions or anything at all? Yeah, Kim, thank you.
When she was talking about shame, I was like, oh, where are my notes at? But the one thing that I remember is Brené, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. She said that, what does it say? Innovation, creativity, and change takes being vulnerable. And we can't be vulnerable unless we deal with shame. So that for me was like, oh gosh, like I really have to face that stuff, you know, you know, and really deal with it. But I understand it now. Like you, there's certain parts of me that I hold back because I don't want to fail or repeat something that made me feel shameful. Mm. But if I don't open up that area of my life, I won't go past it or trust myself and all that intuition that comes, you know, I can't get to that creative part of myself unless I deal with the things that, cause it can hold you back, you know, really if you don't want to make those mistakes anymore, feel that feeling, you know, can't really move forward.
Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Right. Like this is, I talk about this quite a bit in the module. Like this is what's been fucking us up our whole lives, right? Like one of the major things that's been really making us struggle more than we need to. And I'm not playing the victim here of like, oh no, shame, but it's just like the facts, you know, like we have been born into a society and a culture scape that essentially for out the gate, we are judged. We are evaluated. We are like, we're either accepted or we're not accepted, right? And so shame, it cloaks us in this, like, I don't know, this, like, shield that keeps us from actually being authentic and actually being ourselves. And what you were just saying about, like, not wanting to fail or repeat and, like, feel that shame again, totally, right? It's like, God, the feeling of shame is horrible. Like, you know, it's like the feeling of being naked on stage and people throwing tomatoes at me, like, you know, just, and it can be so paralyzing. And I love Brené Brown's work so much. And the other researchers in the field, it's like, we can say, yep, I feel ashamed right now. Like I'm having shame, or well, we can be in a shame triggering experience and feel the shame and not let it stop us from moving forward or doing, you know, trying again or putting ourselves out there to be vulnerable. So yeah, thank you for that share. I'm glad that that's, you know, connecting and resonating with you. That's awesome. Does anybody else have a relatability or a comment around shame? Yeah, Lisa, thank you.
I think by listening to Brené Brown's TED Talks, the two that you resourced for us, mm-hmm. I got that how erosive shame is.
Good word.
An eroding effect. And that so gave me insight into my health issues, my no energy, my not wanting to get out of bed, this erosive thing. And, you know, I can't blame it all on my marriage, but there was a lot of shame happening in the last 15 years of my life. And it's just like, wow, it brought all into focus today, that erosive effect of shame. It erodes. It just like wears away at us. And that imagery really helped me to understand that it's not my, I'm not flawed. I'm not less than. It's like a physical, it has a really physical effect on us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So
thank
you. If you haven't listened to those TED Talks by Brené, they're short. They're like 20 minutes. They're really potent.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for speaking to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shame. It's just, again, it is very erosive, not just emotionally, but also, you know, physically. It's okay. I'm going to be vulnerable and share this. I'm like, is this appropriate? Here we go. Shame in action. I mean, vulnerability in action. So, earlier today, like I've had just the most packed, amazing week of work, right? Like work for me, which is living my passion. But I'm like 16 hour days, which I love, right? I love all of you. I love creating this stuff. I'm like in this amazing place. I could not be happier. And so today I like uploaded the module and it's live and I'm like with my sweetheart and I'm like, I'm going in the pool. Oh my God, I can go in the pool now. Like it's been day five, right? So I put this new swimsuit on that I got and didn't try on because that's what I did. And I put this swimsuit on and I'm like, okay, all right. This is what it looks like to like have a sedentary lifestyle. And like, you know, cause I've been researching a lot and like, I just haven't been very active. So anyway, I'm like looking in the mirror and the shame dragons just like came in and like tried to devour my self-esteem, my self-love, tear me apart limb for limb. And I caught it. I've been getting so much better about just catching it when it's happening. And I just kind of watched it, right? That's where the awareness piece comes in. And I was like, okay, I see you, shame. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can go ahead and move along now. And then I did 5 gratitudes for my amazing human body. Like I have fingers that work. I have legs that move me. I have ears that hear music. I have, you know, and I went right into gratitude, right? Like it just slay the fuck out of those dragons that were trying to tear me apart. What can I learn from looking in the mirror and not being super stoked on my body? Well, Bond, get off your ass and start exercising more. but I'm not going to sit here and like beat myself up and get into the shame cycle about it. So, you know, but that happens to us, especially as women over our lifetime, right? Like the ratio of times we've looked in the mirror and been like, yeah, I love what I see. You're awesome. Like you're looking great versus the percentage of times that we're like, just, you know, pulling out the big guns on ourselves and talking, you know, talking smack. So over time, yes, it's erosive, you know, and it teaches us to hate on ourselves. It teaches us to not feel good about ourselves. And that can translate in so manifest in so many different ways. But like, you know, if we're not feeling worthy of exercising because we're not feeling worthy of living in our own body, then it's just going to become this like vicious cycle. So that's related, tangential. Thanks for listening to that one, ladies. Woo, that was stretchy. Swimsuits. Does anyone else have like a swimsuit thing? Okay. Thanks. All right. Anybody have any questions or thoughts around shame or what I just said or what anyone said so far before I shift gears? Lisa, yeah, thank you.
Just really quick, I think I was taught, especially being like a child of an alcoholic, I understand children of alcoholics tend to be ultra responsible. And so I always felt like me shaming myself was a way of being responsible.
Ooh.
Of like saying, okay, I just got to look in the mirror here and call shit on myself. But it gets really twisted really fast. Mm. You know, it's like what the difference between self-accountability and shaming. That's a pretty big question, right?
Yeah, that's a really good
note. To believe like you're doing the right thing by shaming yourself is really fucked up. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for speaking to that. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. Like we shoulder the responsibility of what's going on by beating ourselves up. Oh God, I could go into this for how long you guys got, because I could go into this for a while, but I won't. But we, you know, we learn to punish ourselves so that nobody else can hurt us worse. Like, that's fucking mind blowing to me. Like, we hurt ourselves to such a degree, and we learn to do this so that nobody else can hurt us more than we already hurt. It's this really sad thing that we learn as children. And so we, you know, I think it was in the Portable, in my mind, I can't find what book it is, but I think it's in the Portable Therapist. But she says that she's like, we won't accept anybody or let anybody treat us worse than we treat ourselves. Like, that's usually our walk point, right? If somebody's beating me up more than I beat myself, that's usually where I'm like, So we learn to self-flagellate, you know, from a really young age, and take, you know, and unfortunately a lot of us are in families of origin where the blame is placed on us and we don't know any better, you know, like we're told we're X, Y, or Z because we did X, Y, or Z and we're bad for it. And then we internalize that. And so then we start to like punish ourselves like so much, because we feel like it's our responsibility to feel the hurt from what is going on. So thank you for mentioning that, Lisa. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
It's a really big piece to get some understanding around vulnerability and shame. And it's like, talk about a gremlin. Wow. It's a monster.
Right.
So.
Yeah. 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 It's like the mama monster from hell. Yeah. So yeah, this just kind of zoom out a little bit, ladies, this module four, the previous module, it's stretchy stuff. Like this is some lifelong re-education that we're experiencing here. It is seriously like we get to relearn how to live and how to treat ourselves and how to relate with ourselves. And, you know, I know I say this a lot, but I feel like it's important to articulate this, everything I put into these modules. It's not like filler, like, oh, what am I going to teach this week or whatever. Everything from these modules, like I've been spending years studying, researching, like I'm trying to do my best to be on the leading edge of like, you know, human, like sociology, psychology, all things. And so this module 4 is just kind of packed it into a lot of these really stretchy re-education pieces that are like vulnerability and authenticity and shame and, you know, and caring what other people think. I mean, every single one of these is like, you know, it's its own form of like debilitating gremlin. So yeah, there's a lot in there, and it's probably going to bring up a lot. It sounds like it's bringing up a lot for you ladies. And thank you for being willing to be brave and put one foot in front of the other and just like be in this phase of the metamorphosis. Cause it can get gnarly, and I'm here for you, as you all know. Like if stuff comes up, like text me, email me. because it does. It's like, holy shit, everything I thought was real isn't real. Ah. So thanks for being willing to go through it, guys. Okay, so one more ask around module 4, and then we're going to shift into module 5. So my curiosity is the toolbox, the self-love toolbox from module 4. Let's bring up the energy here. Talk about, get on a positive note after talking about all those darn gremlins. I got kind of heavy. So module 4, I created a self-love toolbox that I will be ever evolving and adding to. And I'm curious to know if any of you had a chance to take a look at the toolbox and maybe try on one or more of those tools or experiment with them. And if so, how that went. So floor is yours. If you've had an opportunity to do that. Nobody? Okay. Well, it's there for you. Should you need it or want it, I highly recommend giving it at least a read through and trying on one self-love tool every week. The more you learn these tools, the more readily you're going to have them in the toolbox when the gremlins come at you. So, you know, the gremlin, like today, my example with the swimsuit scenario. when that happened, you know, okay, I used the tool of awareness and mindfulness, and then I whipped out the tool of gratitude. Right. And those two tools, like, boom, boom, like, okay, gremlin, like, screw you. So, I invite all of you to try those tools on. Like, gremlins come up, grab a tool, try it on, see what happens. They work, they're there for you. Different tools work better for different people, but they're there for you to use. So, lately my favorite tool from the toolbox is something that my coach taught me, and I put this in the module too, but module also in module 4. But she, I was hanging out with my coach in Hollywood a few years back, and she pops the trunk of her car, and she has these t-shirts, you know, and I'm like, okay. And she pulls this t-shirt out, and it says, "Don't shit on yourself." I just start laughing. I'm like, of course you have shirts in the trunk of your car that say don't shit on yourself. But that was the first time that I had heard that phrase. And so that's always stuck with me. Thank you, TC. That's been one of my favorites lately, just noticing my language around which I'm going to talk about this in a few minutes with module 5, but I have to, I get to, I should. Right? So being really mindful around, am I coming from a place of empowerment or a place of like victimhood? Which, great segue, Fawn. Didn't even know I was going to do that. So should essentially is like, it's one of the major phrases in the victim schmictum vocabulary, which I'm going to talk about here in a second, where I'm talking about right now. So should essentially implies like, there's this thing I can do, need to do, am obligated to do, right? But the word should is like this super passive aggressive, like, I should totally do that. Like, we should totally hang out, or like, I should totally lose weight or whatever, right? And it's like this fairyland statement, right? It's, there's no intention around it necessarily. It's like, oh, I should do that, but dot, dot, dot. If we fill in that sentence, it's usually like, oh, I should do that. But then it never gets like, and I'm going to do it by doing X, Y, and Z. So I'm sharing this because it's been one of my favorite tools lately in my toolbox. So ladies, if you like raise your awareness around the word should, a great replacement for that is I'm going to, I get to, I choose to, you know, same with the word shouldn't, like I shouldn't be doing this. Well, or I'm not doing this or I'm doing this and I know that I want to change this and I'm doing it right now. So should is kind of this like disempowering fantasy land that doesn't really give us very good results. So that's my tool share. Okay. I'm going to segue into module 5. Unless anybody has any questions, kind of wrapping up the module 4 sharing or material. Okay. So, shifting into module 5, which was born today at approximately 5 p.m. Central. It's been gestating for a while now. So Module 5 is awesome. It's fun. I think it's a great antidote to, or a great compliment follow-up to the self-love module. So the idea here, like, everything's happening in sequential order in this program for a reason. So, you know, starting with the first modules that were around like awareness, lifestyle, gardening, values, things like that. So kind of exploring ourselves, exploring the here and now, where we at. And then we shifted gears into awareness and like mindfulness, watching our thoughts, learning that our thoughts are not us. And then from that place, learning about self-love, which now using the tools of self-awareness and mindfulness, we can watch the way we talk to ourselves. We can choose how we talk to ourselves. We can be aware of our shame triggers. We can exercise shame resilience. And so all of this is built on consciousness. This is all built on like being conscious in our own lives, as opposed to being, you know, default, just like thought. So from self-love, right? Once we now are like fostering self-love, working on those muscles, learning more, giving ourselves permission to love ourselves, now it's like, let's create from this place of self-love, right? So creating from a place of self-loathing gives us all sorts of weird results that usually aren't very fun and don't serve us. So when we come from this juicy garden of like consciously pulling weeds and planting seeds and watering flowers and self-love garden, then we can ask like, what do we want to plant? You know, like how do we want this garden to grow? What kind of fruits do we want to produce here? So, the garden analogy has really been sticking with me lately. So module 5 is all about how to do that. Okay. Like how to take our self-love and then grow our life from a place of self-love. And the title of module 5 is self-agency. And self-agency, I'm using that term as like this big kind of like umbrella term for several other terms that I use in the module. But self-agency essentially means that we are jumping into the driver's seat of our life, right? We're jumping in the driver's seat. We're getting out of the passenger seat, or we're getting off the sidewalk, looking at our car or whatever. We're getting in the driver's seat and we're saying, okay, I'm going to fucking choose where I'm going. I'm going to choose how I'm going to drive, I'm going to turn on the GPS. I'm going to turn on, you know, I'm going to get the map out and I'm going to consciously create my life. That is self-agency. And I use this really cute, I think, example in the intro workbook for module 5. And I won't repeat it because it's really obvious, but most of us don't even ask ourselves, what do we really want? My internet connection just got unstable. Can you ladies hear me? Hands in the air. Okay, awesome. Thank you. So we don't really ask ourselves, like, what do I really want? Right? And that's due to a lot of different things. Like maybe we don't think we can. Maybe we don't feel worthy of having what we want. Maybe we don't know how. Maybe we, you know, .. right? So a lot of us don't even, I didn't. For a long time, I just kind of like living, you know, and I'm like, someday it would be great if I could create a life that I actually am like, yes, hell yes about. But I wasn't being responsible. I wasn't like consciously creating that. I wasn't being accountable to myself. I was kind of just like floating through and come what may, and then getting come what may results. And so this module is all about what I call, I came up with the terms, or I didn't come up with the terms, but I use the terms limiters and liberators. So the things that limit us from creating the life that we want and the things that set us free from those things that have been limiting us. And so I'm just going to kind of briefly talk about those for a moment, and hopefully you can all see me. I'm shifting screens and I've never done this before. Did I just blank out or could you guys still see me? Hands if you could still see me. Okay, cool. Because I'm not sure if when I look at other documents, you guys can still see me. Okay. So, maybe I'll do a screen share. Sorry, ladies. I'm obviously figuring this out in real time. I want to go over the limiters and liberators with you is what I'm trying to do right now. Let's see. Share screen. Cool. Okay. All right. Can you ladies see my screen? Hands in the air if you can see my screen. Cool. Okay. Awesome. So here's module 5. Woo, it's alive. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about liberators. So again, liberators are the ways of being, the characteristics to embrace, and the principles to live by. If you want to take this dream you have of living a life that is fucking badass and hell yes for you, and you want to actually make it real, right? You will have a much harder time doing that if these 5 things are not in place. And it took me a long time to learn this. Way too long. Not too long, but a long time. And a lot of coaching and a lot of workshops. And so then embracing these, it's like, oh, okay, I get it now. This is starting to work. So I remember, actually, side share real quick. I remember being at a Mary Morrissey conference in Los Angeles, like almost four years ago to the day. And for those of you who don't know who Mary Morrissey is, she's like one of the biggest, if not the biggest, self-development, like women leaders, inspirers out there. She's kind of up there with like, I don't know, Oprah, Marie Forleo, people like that. So anyway, I'm at her conference and it was the Dream Builder conference. And I learned so much from that freaking workshop, from that conference. But one of the things that she talked about that blew my mind was this like idea of like to be intentional, right? To be an agent in our own lives and be intentional and to stop playing the victim, like just to get out of the victim seat altogether and start like actually creating things, start creating our lives. And so that was just like a huge takeaway for me. They drove it home really hard. And I think one of the reasons it was such a big takeaway for me was because, you know, responsibility, adulting in general, isn't like, I didn't think of it as like, woo, like now I get to pay bills and pay rent and like, you know, do all this hard stuff, right? Work. So I had kind of thought of adulting as being a have to versus a get to. And when I started to shift that way of thinking into I get to, oh my gosh, like I get to create my life however I want, and just totally shifted my mentality, then everything started to change. And it had started to change before that. I'd been working really hard on this stuff for a long time, but that conference, it just really clicked for me. So I'm excited. I'm always excited to talk to, you know, clients or people about this stuff, about self-agency, because it's such a game changer. And we can have fun with it, right? We can have fun with creating our lives. Yeah, we get to work hard. Yes, it's a labor of love. And we get everything that we create in our life, like we sow the, or reap the benefits, right? So is this making sense? I'm kind of giving a couple of anecdotes here, little stories, but any questions? Okay. So yeah, like self-accountability is super important. Again, in the module 5 intro, I talk about, and I'm totally honest about this, and this is true, vulnerability stretch. For a while, I think I was kind of hoping that I would just like catch a break and like my dream life would kind of be handed to me, or I'd meet the right person out of nowhere, or I'd date a guy. I tried this, date a guy with a ton of money, and like then everything would be taken care of. I've never really shared that with anyone before, but there that is. So for a while, I was just kind of like waiting. I was like passive in my life, waiting for something to happen, waiting for like it to just happen for me, and then it didn't. And I, you know, you don't have to share this right now necessarily, but it's something to think about. Like, ask yourself, like, in what way am I on the sidelines in my life? In what way am I being a passive bystander? In what way am I waiting for somebody to come along and swoop me up, or, you know, like win the lottery, whatever? Just check in with yourself around that. You know, for some of you that may not even connect, but for some of you that may, and I know it did for me once I really got real with myself and I was like, if it's to be, it's up to me, which is, you know, I think a really common self-improvement slogan these days, but it's true. Like, if it's to be, it's up to me. Ain't nobody gonna come by and be like, bing, like, here you go. But with one strong caveat, once we do get intentional about our lives and become agents in our lives, then we get to manifest people who help us on our way, amazing opportunities, like incredible stuff happens out of nowhere, synchronicities. So I'm not trying to say that we can't bring in whatever we want, but it's not going to happen as easily or maybe at all if we're just like kind of cruising along and not like not being intentional about the way that we live. So does that make sense? Does anybody have a question about that? Okay. And I know a couple of you, actually all of you, have been super intentional about your lives. Like, you've made really hard decisions and you've had to bite the bullet or, you know, really, really embrace that. If it's up to me, if it's to be, it's up to me, you know, like kind of standing in the mirror, looking yourself in the mirror and like, you know, it's like shit or get off the pot. Right. So I know all of you have this inside of you, and I'm not in any way trying to say like, oh, we're all victims, but we play the victim. And so I think it's really important to call that out. All right. So we've got 11 minutes and I'm going to just briefly go over this stuff. It's all in the module. There's the audio, there's the workbook. So dive in when you're ready, you know, keep working on module 4. If you haven't, wrapped that out or worked on it fully, and then go ahead and proceed to this one. But so liberators, right? Things that are on our side. These are our weapons of choice. Are our helpers of choice. So self-love, see module 4, self-agency. That's your ability to make your own choices, be accountable, be responsible, response-able, which is down here at number 4, and be proactive. And again, these are all unpacked in the module. Accountability. So being accountable for ourselves, being accountable for our choices, not making excuses, right? So accountability, responsibility, and then proactivity. So these 5, like, write them down, stick them on your wall, put them in your phone, live by them, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Like, in to quote a great hip-hop song, if you find yourself, you know, feeling a certain kind of way, if you find yourself feeling disempowered or you find yourself struggling, like, ask yourself, okay, how can I utilize my self-agency right now? How can I be more accountable? How can I be more response-able? How can I be more proactive? Game changers. All of these are game changers. So the limiters, AKA the gremlins, right? So I made this really handy little chart here. And from my perspective, belief systems are at the top, right? They're like the top umbrella of all the limiters that hold us back. It's our belief systems, whether they're conscious or unconscious. Most of the time they're unconscious, but those are like our patterns, our old tapes, our rules, the things that are just like in there. And then I kind of broke this into 3 like major categories. So limiters, like fear limits us, right? Like, raise your hand if fear holds you back from doing what you want to do sometimes, right? Yeah. Fear is a nasty one. So, which is why Susan Jeffers' book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, is one of the 2 assigned readings for this module. It's a great book. It's, you know, not lengthy, but it's packed with amazing insight. And I just love the way that she describes what fear is and unpacks it. And then, you know, which is essentially at the core of all fears, is the fear that you won't be able to handle whatever happens to you. So that's always an interesting thing for me to check in with, like, oh, I'm afraid, you know, I'm having this moment of fear right now and I'm not sure, I don't know. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I'm afraid I won't be able to handle it. And then I'm like, I totally will be able to handle this. It might suck. It might feel really stretchy or painful in a way, but how can I like restructure that and remind myself that I'll be able to handle it. And just knowing that, using that tool of, I can handle it, I will handle it. You know, this might sound morbid, but it's true. I'm either going to die or I'm not going to die, right? So if I don't die, I'm going to handle it. So fear, big one. So I unpacked that a little bit in the module, but again, her book, Susan Jeffers' book, is awesome. And then another limiter I think it is lack of self-love, right? So that shows up as shame, unworthiness, opinions of others, settling, scarcity versus abundance, and insecurity. So that lack of self-love piece, really destructive. Like we talked about at length at the beginning of this call, first half of this call. So lack of self-love and then playing the victim, which is what I want to kind of zero in on right now. So playing the victim, and I got really real with myself about all of these because I've done all of them. And also ladies, just so you know, kind of how this is laid out. So for each limiter, I describe a liberator, like what you can do about the limiter. So it's kind of like, here's what's screwing you over. And then here's how to get out of it. Right. Or here's what to do with it. Anyway, so playing the victim, I'm going to scroll down here and find, there we go. So I call it victim schmictum because I think that little tack on of like schmictum, you know, it's like bullshit, right? Victim schmictum. And I call myself out on it. I'm like, oh, I'm fine. You're victim schmictuming right now. Okay. So playing the victim is when we're handing out over our power, our agency, our responsibility to anything outside of us, right? Like, and I give a ton of examples here, so I'm not going to be redundant, but it's like, you know, the traffic, my parents, my partner, this guy on the, you know, street, my genetics, my, you know, just blaming, like not my fault. So that's playing the victim straight up. I want to make a distinction here also that there are true victims in the world. For sure. Like there are atrocious things happening and that have happened where people do not have a choice in the situation and they are violated and they are true victims. So I'm not trying to say that there is no such thing as being a victim. What this is in context to, this victim schmictum piece is the things that are really in our control. Like these, yes, like I get to choose. One of the things I talk about here is like, I get to choose how I react when I'm sitting in traffic for 30 minutes, right? Like a lot of people, I did the commute in Los Angeles on the 101 for a minute and people freak out. People do not like traffic. And so, you know, that's a classic example of like, you want to get to know somebody, ride with them in traffic in LA for an hour and see what happens. But so many people are just like, oh, the fucking traffic. And that guy cut me off. And like, you know, oh, cool Tesla. You know, people just get so like whiny about it. And that's victim schmictum. And the alternative or the opposite of that is, oh my gosh, like I'm sitting in traffic, which means I'm in a vehicle, which means I get to be going somewhere, which means I get to be going to my job. Even if I don't like it, I get to pay my bills. I get to, you know, on my commute, I get to listen to audiobooks or seminars or whatever and get more, you know, build my skill set so that I can move on to a better job. So it's all about taking accountability for our experience, right? And stop pointing the fucking finger at like life, like, oh, life, me. This one is one that I really wanted to underscore because when we get real with ourselves about how we might be playing the victim and we take self-agency, responsibility, accountability, proactivity, and the power within the self, and we start to choose our reality and say, you know what, like, that guy just totally yelled in my face and I can sit here and have a tantrum about it and a pity party and whine about it. Or I can just say, well, that wasn't nice, guy. You're crazy. And keep walking. Right. We get to choose. So circling back to this importance of awareness piece, victimhood it's a seriously challenging habit to break because it shows up in a lot of different ways. But, so there's a lot in this module about victim schmictum. And one of my favorites, and I'll end with this and then we'll do a share and a takeaway, is the I have to versus I get to. And we've talked about this on earlier calls, but I just want to dive into it just for a moment here again. So I have to, language is so important, right? So I'm gonna zoom out for a second. What we say and the words we use represent paradigms and archetypes and thought patterns in our brains. They represent the reality that's going on internally. So the I have to mentality, or the I have to do the dishes. Oh, you know what? I have to go home. I can't go out and have dinner with you, or I have to. So that is so, we're handing over our power and our empowerment and our agency and our ability, right? Like, I have to call my mom. I have to do it, right? And so what we're saying is, like, I don't really want to take responsibility for this thing I'm about to do, but I'm going to hate it while I do it, or I'm not going to like it while I do it, but I'm not going to take responsibility for it, but I'm going to complain about it, like, blah, 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 right? So that is just feeding our victim, like that inner, like, victim schmictum gremlin that's like, yes, feed me, be a victim, please. And the antidote to that is I get to. And an awesome tribe member, Patricia, this resonated with her when we were working together last fall, and she got a ring that's an anchor, and it's inscribed with I get to, so that she looks at it and she remembers, like, oh, I get to do this thing. I don't have to. So I get to, just swapping that out with the I have to makes such a big difference. Like, oh, I have to clean the bathroom versus, like, I get to clean the bathroom, right? Okay, can I find some benefits in, because this is all about, like, how do we want to feel, ladies? Do we want to feel crappy and whiny and like we're being beat up by the have-tos of life? Or do we want to feel like life's an opportunity and we get to be in charge of our reality of it? So the I get to, like, I get to clean the bathroom. Okay, why might that be I get to? Oh, because that means I have a bathroom to clean. That means I have plumbing, right? That means I'm in Mexico right now. I can tell you having a bathroom to clean is actually a fucking privilege. Like, it's a really nice thing. I've been in some bathrooms here so really putting things in perspective around, I get to, like, you know, I get to clean. Maybe you can listen to it. Maybe I can listen to a podcast. Maybe I can listen to the sounds of what's around me. Maybe I'm going to have a clean bathroom to utilize. Right. So, so there's an example, there's more examples, and I unpack this more in the module, but I invite all of you, when you're starting to feel that kind of like beleaguered, like sludgy, like I have to do this thing. I have some, looking at your to-do list that's like this long and you're like, I have to do all these things on here. I get it. I feel you. Like, my to-do list is insane. But when I approach it with I get to versus I have to, it makes such a huge difference in my energy and my emotions and my whole outlook. So that was a big one that I wanted to share with all of you and invite you to try on. It's so empowering, just that phrase, like, I get to, right? Like, tonight, like, I get to brush my teeth and crawl into bed, and I get to sleep, you know, like, that's awesome. That's what, there's so many people who don't get to do that, you know? So putting it in perspective. All right. And with that, I end my sermon. thank you, ladies. We are at time. I am happy to hang for a few extra minutes and do a takeaway and answer any questions. If anybody needs to go, if anyone needs to go right now, thank you for being here. Feel free to hop off. If anybody needs to go and wants to do a quick share before they go, raise their hand. Or if anybody wants to stay and do a quick share, just hang tight. We'll do that. So, okay. Awesome. Oh, yay. Everybody wants to do a takeaway with me. Thank you. All right. Let me stop my screen share here. I didn't lose anyone. Okay. Woo. All right, ladies. Thanks for listening to that download. First of all, are there any questions about anything that I covered in terms of module 5, limiters, liberators, victim, schmictum? Okay. All right. Was there anything that particularly connected with anyone about any of that? Resonated or like, ooh, doesn't make sense. Does make sense. Okay. All right. I think maybe you're all digesting the content, perhaps. There's me being really optimistic. No, Fawn, it has nothing to do with the fact that it's late and they're all tired. perpetual optimist in real time. All right. Getting silly over here. All right. So let's go ahead and do a takeaway. I'm going to grab my wine. I'm going to drink some wine. Let's do a takeaway, and we'll do two takeaways. Let's do something that resonated from the content or the concepts or the themes, and then something that resonated or connected with us about some what somebody else had shared. So we'll do two takeaways. Let's keep them, you know, reasonably short, I guess. Minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. So I will start. Let's see here. Whew, so many from your shares, actually. Yeah, Lisa, I think what's coming up for me right now in my takeaway, and this is kind of like a dually encompassing takeaway here. Lisa, what you were sharing with your new resonation with self-love and the importance of it and really waking up to allowing yourself to learn more about it and exercise it more and implement it more in your life. That really touched me. Like, that was just like, oof. And I'm so grateful that you're having that experience. So yeah, that was definitely my takeaway from your share. Yeah. Okay. Courtney, would you be willing to do a takeaway or two takeaways?
Yeah, so I think the biggest takeaway that I got from the stuff that you said, the interesting one is you said, you know, we hurt ourselves so no one can hurt us worse when we're talking about like the self-love and the stuff. And so that was really interesting explanation around, you know, why we're so hard on ourselves, kind of the reasoning behind it and stuff. And I think understanding that can help us work through it a little bit more. So that was I took. And then from somebody else, I think that what Kim said, you know, when she was talking about like, there are parts of me that I hold back because of things that I hold shame around. I think that was just like, yes, me too. Like, absolutely. Mm. Like, and then it kind of got me thinking like, okay, what things am I holding back and stuff like that. So with that a lot.
Yeah, that was a thank you, Kim, for sure. Thank you, Courtney, for that takeaway, and thank you, Kim, for that, because that was I too was like, oh yeah. Yeah, thank you. Lisa, would you be willing to do a couple takeaways?
You'd be proud of me. I have post-it notes.
Yay.
From our conversation. But what really hit me that I've been like really getting on a deep level is if it's to be, it's up to me. Because, you know, where I am in my life right now and just my whole profile, all of it, it's like, no, but it's not going to happen unless I make it happen. And there's a lot on the line if I don't make it happen. And, you know, Valerie, I am just really inspired by you advocating for yourself for this job. It's like, go girl. I mean, I'm sure that took a lot for you to write that email and just say, hey, I'm your girl. Like, I'm the woman for this job to stand in that. It's an awesome example. It gives the rest of us permission to do that. Every time any of us do that, it gives everybody, all the rest of us, permission to like claim our amazingness. So good luck with the results with that. And hopefully you can just really own, I mean, you are owning, and you shared it with us how powerful that was for you. So thanks for sharing that. It was really a sweet story to hear.
Yeah. Thanks for that takeaway, Lisa. And yes, yeah. Definitely.
Big time.
One thing, I just want to slip in a quick thing here. So the if it's to be, it's up to me thing, sometimes that can feel like a mountain of responsibility of like, One thing I invite everyone to do is to appreciate everything you do. That's one thing that makes the "it's up to me" thing more exciting or like inviting is if, like, you know, you just made dinner or you made yourself a coffee. Like, I just did this, however big or small. And the more we acknowledge what we do and the rewards of it, the more we're going to want to do that. You know, the more we're going to want to be responsible in our life. So just want to slip that in. Thanks for that. Okay. Valerie, would you be willing to do a takeaway, two takeaways?
Okay. I'm trying to figure out how to work all this. Okay. Yes. And thank you, Lisa. Thank you for that. It's one thing I have to say is it's nice to have women to talk to and to comfort each other and to build each other up. I mean, we just don't have enough of that. So I really do appreciate that because I'm not getting too much of that at my job. So thank you for that. Mm. And let's see, as far as the, if it's to be, it's up to me, I kind of took it a different way. Like, I didn't take it as there's so much responsibility on me. It's kind of like a relief that, oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
Instead of like, oh, I have to do all this. It's like, oh, I can do this. Like, you know, if I'm counting on someone else to do, like if I want my husband to fix something or go to the store and pick something up, like then I'm worried all day if he's doing it or not. Like, is he going to do that? Did he do what I asked him to do? You know, did my kids clean the kitchen? Did they, but if I'm just doing it myself, like all that worrying is just like gone. And not saying that I'm going to take on all the responsibility, but there are some things that I can do for myself. And that's part of my, I do a lot, but I have been pregnant many times. And because of that, I counted on my kids to do a lot of things for me. So when I wasn't pregnant anymore, I'm like, oh, now I have to do this for myself instead of having them do it for me. So I had to get used to doing that. But now that I'm kind of like, if it's to be, it's up to me. It's like, well, I can do it. I'm not dumb. Like, I know how to do this. I just don't want to, which takes me back to the screenshot you were sharing on module 5, where one of the limiters is like being lazy or like feeling entitled. And it's like, wow, I never would have thought about that as a limiter. Like, you know, you're just like, oh, well, I have a right to sit here because I worked hard all day. Mm-hmm. Well, you're limiting yourself, you know? So it's kind of like all goes full circle into each other, you know, all the different techniques and sayings. And so it's kind of nice how it all works together. And hopefully I can just do a little more for myself instead of depending on other people for little things that I can do on my own.
Yeah. Woohoo. I love that. Thanks for sharing that. And that, you know, that's a vulnerable thing to share. And I super appreciate that. And I, yeah, it's baby steps, right? Like, yeah, starting small and building on that. So thank you, Valerie. That was awesome. All right. And Kim, would you be willing to do a takeaway or two takeaways? I'm like trying to tilt my screen to see you. I'm like, where are you? Go ahead and unmute yourself. I can't hear you. Yeah, I think you're still muted. I can't hear you, Kim.
Okay.
There we go. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, awesome.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
For me, the one takeaway from what someone said was just relating to what Lisa said, and I kept trying to figure out a word, but then when she said it, energizes her, and I was like, that's what it is. So that would be my takeaway, because I really related to that, just all the new resources and how it really makes a difference in your everyday. The other would be for and I guess it is, if it's going to be, it's up to me, is playing the victim. Sometimes I'll like fall into it, and it'll be over something small, you know, just fall into feeling like I don't have control over that. And then I realize, oh no, I can do something about that. Even if it's, a feeling that I have or a thought. You told me, you know, that your thought comes before the feeling, whereas sometimes I felt like the feeling was there before the thought. But just sometimes I can fall victim to something like that really quickly. But like with the different resources and the one thing that you shared with me about negative thinking, just, you know, I'm able to come out of that. So mm-hmm. if it's going to be, it is up to me. Like I have control of even something as small as that. I don't have to keep thinking that way. Even if it is a feeling and if it's the truth, I can still, I have tools now to kind of divert from that. So I, yeah, when we were reading that, I was like, okay, the playing the victim, it can be so small,
right?
And in really quickly. But if you're aware of it and you know that, you know mm-hmm. what it is when you feel it or think it, then you can come out of that. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that share. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That little victim worm gets right in there. And yeah, it's amazing how good it feels, ladies, when we catch the victim worm. It's like, whoa, I was totally just like pointing all my fingers at the outside world. And wait a minute, like I can get my ass up and get my own glass of water. Oh, that's right. So, yeah. Okay. Well, have fun with all of this, ladies. There's a lot in module 5. Again, what's up there right now is kind of like the context and the introduction, and then I will be uploading two more parts of the module. So 5.2 will be something I've been really excited about for a long time. It's going to be about the how to use the 10 cognitive distortions to reality check our gremlins. And then we're also going to that module. Module's also going to be talking about Hades the work. So some of you have done that with me. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't. But those two things are like amazing golden rainbow glitter swords for the gremlins and the worms and all the crap. So those will be 5.2. And then 5.3 will be the workbook portion where there'll be questions to help you unpack all of this. And like, you know, how have I been playing the victim? Or like, what tool am I going to use to slay this victim or this gremlin and blah, blah, blah. So, hold tight, go ahead and dive into what's there, or, you know, continue on module 4 if you're still working on that. And within the next, hopefully, handful of days, I will have the rest of this module up. One more thing I want to mention before we hop off. So that what I was saying about the, we hurt ourselves so that no one can hurt us worse than our own and self-inflicted pain. I remembered where that came from now. And Courtney had remembered, like you were sharing your takeaway. I remembered, and so that is actually from the Four Agreements in Don Miguel Ruiz's book. And it's in the, I want to say the first or second chapter. So if you guys are curious about what all of that means, like, what do you mean I hurt myself? It's from the Four Agreements. So you can look into it there. All right. Any ending questions or shares? And if not, I'm going to go ahead and go to Gay Pride down the street in Puerto Vallarta, which is happening right now. So I'm about to put my own glitter on and go see what the gay boys are doing. All right, ladies, lots of love to you all. Enjoy the rest of your evenings. And as always, reach out to me if you have any questions or anything at all. But I have so much love for you. And we'll be seeing you on the next call. Good night, everybody. Good night. Good night.